Welcome to another episode of What's the Point? I am Nathan Birch, and today we are lucky to have a great guest, Bo Ricker, principal at Westchester Elementary, here with us. And I also have my co-host, Dr. Kinoy. How are you, Dr. Kinoy?
I'm doing great, Nathan, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. Glad to be here today.
Indeed. You know, we are sitting in the lovely offices of Westchester Elementary with Bo Ricker, who is our guest for today. And Bo is an elementary school principal, and I know he'll have the opportunity in a few moments to speak more in depth about him. But he's also the new president of the St. Louis Suburban Elementary Principal Association, and that's a wonderful organization for principals in our region. And so I'm hoping that Bo will share with us his thoughts on what the organization does, why it's a good idea for people to join, and the things that are associated with that association. So,
Dr. Ricker, how are you today?
Great. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on today.
So tell us a little bit about you and your association and kind of your history in education.
So I guess my association with education started at a pretty young age. I've lived in Missouri my entire life. Both my uncle and my father were administrators. They met coaching football in Smithville on the Kansas City side. My father introduced my uncle to my aunt, and then they stayed on the Kansas City side, and we kind of worked towards St. Louis. My uncle retired as the superintendent at Smithville near Kansas City, and my father retired from the state of Missouri as the superintendent at Melville. So I felt like, you know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving. Anytime we got around the dinner table, we talked about Missouri public education. Mm-hmm. And I heard about it all the time. I never really had the intention in going into education when I graduated high school, but it always pulled me back, and I just kind of matriculated that way and ended up, right now I'm currently the building principal here at Westchester and Kirkwood and loving every minute of it.
That's great. So you went to college. Is that when you decided to go into education? Like, how did you decide to follow your family footsteps?
So, yeah, I think college, I did a year at Mizzou and had a little too much fun. And then I transferred down to Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah.
And, great education school. Just kind of fell into that elementary education department. Had a great time. Was really excited. Got to be in classrooms. Got to see kids. Got to see a lot of different experiences that from what I had growing up in suburban St. Louis. You know, you got to see more of the rural area. We worked in Jackson and Cape Girardeau public schools. So, you know, seeing that type of diversity kind of excited me. So got into that, graduated. I was lucky enough to student teach in the fall and see a school year start with an established teacher. A student taught in Francis Howe. And then luckily, the principal kind of had an eye out for me because he knew that this particular teacher, her husband, was going to be transferred near Christmas time. So I got to student teach with her in first grade, and then I just kind of moved into the position when she transferred. So it was a great opportunity for me.
That's great.
And then administration, how did you get into that?
So I finished that half year, and then I started my master's program that next year to get into administration. They passed the tax levy, and I changed schools, and I taught second grade, and then I finished my master's program, and then I got into the leadership and education program that Francis Howell had and went right into, you know, shadowing assistant principals, or if they were on leaves or a principal needed to take some time away. And I never turned an assignment down, and I had people start requesting me. So I continued to work through that program. And then the following year, after I graduated in Lindenwood, they had an administrative intern position available at one of the other elementary schools. And I was fortunate enough to offered that position. And I was an administrative intern there for 1 year. Great experience. So, you know, I was in Francis Howell for 4 years in three different buildings. So it was great. A lot of moving and shaking. Learned a lot on my feet. I really feel like the assistant principalship and the principalship, you can only learn the job while you're in the job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys know. I've heard advice from other people. You don't really know what it's like until you're walking in those shoes, and I think that's accurate.
Yeah. All the time people, I have staff members that decide they want to go into, administration. I'm not sure if I'm ready. I'm like, you'll never be sure that you're ready. And you won't be ready until you get in there and you get started and you start to learn that way. So you were in Francis Howell, and then how did you move into the head principalship, and what did that look like?
So I was an administrative intern for a year, the principal was established, and I was the administrative intern. There was an assistant principal and a head principal. The assistant principal was also looking for a head principal job. Well, I was, I wasn't even 30 years old, and I was moving real quick, and so I was looking for an assistant principal position. Well, he got a head principal position in Francis Howell, and I had been interviewing in Pattonville, and I was lucky enough to be selected for the position from Pattonville, and so I went to Pattonville for 4 years. And I think that I really chose and was intentional to go to Pattonville because I had worked in these suburban districts. And, I didn't have a lot of diversity experience. And when I went to Drummond Elementary in Pattonville, it was the school that they tore down two schools to build that extra runway at the airport. And they took two schools and made one. And it just melted this community together. We had a lot of... It was right along Lindbergh by the old Airway Drive-In, I don't know if you know where that's at. Mm-hmm. And, the school was meticulous. It was brand new. But they had to build a culture. They had to build a climate. They were bringing two schools together. It was a very unique opportunity. There were 19 countries represented and 13 languages. So we had a large ELL population. About 40% of our kids rolled over each year. We had a lot of extend-to-stay hotels and... 3-month apartment complexes. Kids coming to school because it was the safe place and they got two meals a day. It was just a big shock to me to see what they were really going through, because I didn't understand that, because I hadn't lived that. You can watch a documentary and you can see that, but I was living with that community and I really immersed in getting to know them, building relationships, just providing opportunities for kids, loving on the kids, giving them anything that they need that we could offer, fundraising. We did a lot of community outreach. I learned a lot about how to partnership with community organizations. The Pattonville community is incredible. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of great people willing to do whatever it takes to make sure kids were safe, kids were fed, and they still got a great education.
Right.
That sounds like a wonderful school experience there. So what from that experience do you feel is carried over into your other roles as an administrator?
We did a lot of really innovative things when we were there. We really started looking at RTI, and we did some intervention, and we had a thing called Reading Blitz for 30 minutes every day, where we immersed our reading specialists into kids that needed that, and we really set up an RTI type of schedule. It was innovative. It was exciting. We had a lot of growth that we did. We did a lot of work with our teachers with some culturally responsive things. I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Right.
So a lot of great things because of the resources the Pattonville community provided. I think the empathy that I gained from that experience is something that I will never forget. And it's something that I think about when I have tough conversations with people, whether you work with kids that are kids that come from poverty or disadvantage, or kids that have a lot of privilege. You just have to have that solid grounding. And I think that really provided that experience, and that those 4 years really provided that for me.
And then you were a principal in First Florissant, right?
Yeah, so then I went to Commons Lane Elementary for 4 years, and the big charge there, I remember talking to the superintendent when I got hired, it was, you need to change the APR score here. Mm. And that was a big charge. I walked into the building and, 90% of my population were African-American students. I was the minority. And those people were probably the most appreciative people that I've worked with. They really valued what the school was. They really valued the opportunities that we could provide kids. It was this one of the safest places that I've worked. They loved that school. It was a smaller population. 450 kids, but they absolutely loved that neighborhood school. It was a neighborhood school, so they would walk, and the families there were just phenomenal. They were just amazing. I mean, so we had to change the APR. So, what are we looking at? We're looking at programs, we're looking at people. So we did some innovative things on how we move teachers around and what to do, you know, where's their baseline start in third grade for our first MAP score, and how can we change those? So we had a good leadership team there. You know, we went through some rough times with the social unrest up there. I can remember being up there, being the building principal, and the kids at McClure North High School walked out during the civil unrest, and they just kind of came and sat in our parking lot. There was no violence. They were just protesting. They were just advocating for their rights. But it was an experience as an administrator, you know, you kind of go to the worst case scenario and you talk about, you know, liability and you're thinking about things. But really, those kids just wanted to show their voice. Right. And it was a safe place because they knew the area. They knew the people. They had relationships. I had vested relationships with them. It was great that they came and sat in the parking lot, and then they got buses and took them back to school.
So thinking about, I mean, it sounds like you've been at a lot of different kind of locations. Thinking about down in SEMO, where you have more rural, you know, smaller town type of things. And then, you know, through Francis Howell and Pattonville and Kirkwood and Ferkflor. So what is kind of thinking of leadership-wise, what is the common thread that kind of connects all of those? Maybe if you look on paper, those schools might not have a lot in common across the board, but what's kind of that common thread that you find connects all school leadership?
I think the common thread that connects all school leadership are kids, and that's why we're here, kids and families. And I think regardless of where you are in education, whether it's rural, whether it's suburban, whether it's more of an urban, the way I view the leadership is it's situational, and it's based upon the experience the people have and the maturity of where they are within their career. And I think you can put those things together and figure out the level of support or the level of directiveness that you provide. And that's individually based. I mean, you know, if you have 4 years of experience and you're a third grade teacher, or you have 15 years of experience, the way you support them are completely different. They may be working on the same team, but it's all situation based upon where they're at and what their needs are, and then how that impacts helping kids, because that's what it's really about. You know, we work with adults as administrators, we work with adults a lot, but the real impact is that student learning. Mm-hmm.
So you have all of these experiences, which, you know, I've known you for a while now, and I had no idea about all the background that you have. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, because it's certainly a lot of experiences that many of us as administrators have never had. And I think of myself, for example, I've worked in one district, and that's it, and I love it, but I don't have all of those experiences that you have. And so as a well-respected member of the education community in our region, what advice do you have for aspiring administrators?
I think, you know, working in schools and working in administration, it's a contact sport. It's a contact profession. As many contacts as you can make with people is really important. I mean, that's kind of how what led me here to Kirkwood after Ferkflor. I had some contacts here. I knew the building was coming up. The principal was retiring. I had some contacts. So, you know, call and ask. You know, educators and administrators, we're actually pretty likable people, and we're willing to share if people approach us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, reach out. If you know somebody in the building that you're looking to be a part of, or you know somebody in the district, ask questions. That's the best way you can get to know things. If you don't ask and you don't reach out and you don't make those connections, that's going to be a little bit more difficult. You're going to kind of come in. Do your research. Figure out what you want to know. You know, I knew Westchester had won a blue ribbon before. Well, you know, when I came in and I did the interview here in Kirkwood, I knew that, hey, that's probably something we're going to want to do again. And we were lucky enough to win the blue ribbon in 2019. You know, we're the only elementary school that's won it twice in Kirkwood. That's a big deal. That's a big point of pride. So, you know, once we got nominated, then I went to another administrator in Rockwood and said, hey, how did you guys go through this process? Well, we just talked. We made a committee. This is what I got from somebody else. So it's not like we're really reinventing the wheel. It's just about contacts, meeting people, putting yourself out there. You're going to have to be vulnerable. I mean, if you're going to be trying to come into the administration profession, you're going to have to be vulnerable. I don't know everything. I've been doing this for a while, and I don't claim to know everything. But I bet if I have an issue, I know somebody that's either been through that or is walking through that problem myself that I can probably give a call.
So I don't know if you've done this before, but that was a perfect segue into the next part of your current role as president of, I want to make sure I get this right, the St. Louis Suburban Elementary Principal Association. So tell us a little bit about what that organization is, what your role is, and in kind of what fellow principals can do to be part of that and how that would be important for them.
Yeah, so this year I'm the president of the St. Louis Suburban Elementary Principals Association. That's a mouthful. And I was reminded by the former principal here at Westchester that my father was also the president at one time, I believe back in the 90s. So that was kind of interesting.
Does it have an acronym? Because I feel like in education, we really love acronyms. And I feel like that's just screaming for a way to shorten it.
I think it's like SLESPA.
SLESPA.
SLESPA, MESP, NEASP. Like we all have all these acronyms.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Alphabet soup. Like yeah. FDR would be proud, right?
Right.
So really, our organization gets people in the St. Louis area together. We serve St. Charles County, we serve St. Louis County, and we serve St. Louis City. And I think majority of the principals that are part of our organization are more in that central corridor here in St. Louis County. And I think the opportunity for growth for us is reaching out to St. Charles County and up to probably a little bit more North County. It's an organization for us to build a community of educators, to problem solve, to talk about issues, to be a sounding board. I don't think we commiserate, but we definitely problem solve. And I think it's important for us to really have a fellowship of understanding that, you know, it can be a lonely profession and you need to know that there's somebody that I could count on. Whether you come to a meeting and you heard, you know, someone talk about an issue, oh yeah, I might have that 3 months down the road. They were talking about it. I can give them a call. We're all trying to solve the same problems. We're all trying to typically going towards the same goal. We just need to have a sounding board. It's about connections, about networking. It's about helping and lifting each other up because, like I said, it's a lonely profession and sometimes it can be a thankless job. So you definitely need to have a peer group and a network of people that can lift you up, hold you up, prop you up, just be there for you.
How would you describe what your priorities are as the president? Is it 1 year term, 2 year term? How's that work?
I think I got roped into 2 years somehow, but I think it's a revolving thing. No, I think the biggest part, biggest issue that we have is, you know, recruitment, getting people to be a part of the organization, the sustainability. You know, we're changing some things up for the next meeting. We're actually going to host it here at Westchester. We're going to do some attendance prize. We have a book giveaway. We have Jay Anderson, who's our executive director, coming to speak with us to give us an update. And then, you know, as an attendance prize, we're going to give a free registration to our spring conference. So really just trying to pull people in, be a part, really try to collaborate with people. You know, you get to collaborate with some people within your organization or your district. And some districts are really big, like a third floor with like 19 buildings, or somebody small, kind of like with five elementary buildings here at Kirkwood. But really just kind of get us together and to network and problem solve some ideas and get some ideas on how to innovate, how to expand or solve problems.
I think you said something really powerful there. Like we talk about, we all have the same problems, right? They might look different in different places in different districts, but ultimately it's how do we get kids to, you know, find purpose in what they're doing and to, you know, achieve their potential. And I think the idea of sometimes when you're inside your district, you can see things through that lens, right? And so getting out and being able to see other people. So thinking about the organization, how do they foster that? What does that look like for those opportunities for, if I'm a principal in the St. Louis area and I'm wondering what that looks like or what that means, how does that work for?
So they can reach out, you know, obviously I can make my email address available, but we're really trying to get into visiting certain locations. You know, we visited Dr. Kinoy's building last year, or before COVID, I think. COVID really put a damper down on things, but we're really trying to get back to visiting sites and seeing things in different places because there's a lot of great innovative things taking place at each building, and they all have their points of pride. And their little community, their school community knows what that is, and sometimes the district knows about that. But there are things that people from other regions and other places need to come and see. So that's like, even when I travel and go different places in the state or go to Jeff City for things, I like to try to stop at a building and be able to see those type of things because there could be something learned from every place you go and every experience you have. And I really try to model that through my entire career and hopefully bring things back to enrich other people's lives.
So how would a administrator, is open to assistant principals as well?
Yeah, it's open to, we actually have an aspiring principals program, we have an assistant principals program, a principals program, and then a retired principals program. So there's different levels that they can join. This is the regional organization. There's the state organization, Missouri Association of Elementary Principals, that's MAESP. We have a conference in the fall and then our big conferences in the spring. That's the state level organization, and they do some advocacy through the legislature, and they also do some priorities that there's a commissioner's roundtable for the commissioner of education for the state of Missouri, and then there's the national level. So it's kind of different. There's regional, state, and then a national level, but they're kind of all under the umbrella. If you go to the if you join member of the national, you get some more legal and liability protection. State level is more about issues that are happening and taking place in Missouri, and then the regional is obviously solving problems here within the St. Louis area.
So if I wanted to join the regional association, is there a website?
Yeah, you can go to maesp.com, and then you can do the St. Louis region, and it'll walk you through. It'll probably shoot me an email, let me know, and I'll probably reach out and make contact with you. But if you have any questions, we're always happy to, you know, learn new things from new people and have them join the association, absolutely.
You mentioned advocacy and you know, legislative updates and those things, and I think, you know, you mentioned being in a school, and we get to see, like, whether it's your own school or other schools, like, you're able to see the impact that public education has on kids on a regular basis and the difference it makes in kids' lives. What are some of the things that you see that are going on, whether it be legislative or just out in the community, that maybe principals or people that are, you know, support public education should be aware of and just kind of understand?
I could say, you know, the role of public education has changed just in my career. You know, it's more than reading and writing and arithmetic. You know, with COVID, we've become mental health professionals. We've become, you know, medical professionals, and sometimes, are you able to come to school? I think that role is ever expanding. I think there's the, you know, the social, emotional, and behavior health is important. I think that's a reflection of society, and I think schools are microcosms of what's taking place in society, just with smaller bodies. I think it's really important that we keep on our eye on the prize of high expectations of what we want kids to be. I mean, I feel like my role as a, you know, elementary principal is getting them prepared for middle school, so there are many facets that I look like. I don't really focus on where they started. That's more of a journey, and the destination is not necessarily, it could be endless, but the real destination is middle school. So I think it's really important to focus on the whole aspect of a kid. I always talk about the analogy of a backpack. You know, a kid comes to school with a backpack, and in their backpack is, you know, the fight they had with their mom, the fact they didn't have food, that they want a new pair of tennis shoes, or that somebody was mean to them on the bus. That's even before we get down to the academics and the things that go on. We have to unpack all that backpack as a teacher, as an administrator, as a counselor, as any adult working in the schools, the custodian. They're all advocates for kids. We've got to unpack that before we can get down to that education. And sometimes that takes a little bit longer, but that's what that person needs. That's what that kid needs.
And the role of the principal, you know, has evolved a lot over the years. You know, not only has public education changed, but the role of the principal within that, you know, just no longer the making sure you have a schedule set, you know, that's a big part of it now, but then there's so many other things that are associated with it. When you think about, say, the elementary principal ranks, or just administrative ranks in general, because we know people at all the levels, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing administrators?
I think there's a negative public perception of public education in general. And I think I would say that was probably nationally, not just a state or a local thing, it's nationally. I think educators, it's a tough gig. I mean, you know, especially the principal, you're middle management, and you're getting it from the kids and the teachers from the bottom, and you're getting from your administration, the board from the top. So you're middle management, and you're just trying, some days you just feel like you're just trying to keep your head above water. But I read something interesting last week, you know, the biggest sector that the FBI is recruiting on is education, because we're battle tested. We can handle the public criticism. We can handle the grind, the workload. I mean, you can't be an educator and not be in front of kids almost every single day. I mean, very limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to show up every day. You're on presentation every day. You've got to deal with, you don't know what's going to come in. I mean, to me, that's the most exciting part of my job. I get to drive in and I can have an idea of what my schedule's in my head. And in 15 minutes, I can take a phone call and my day goes 180, right? And that's exciting to me. I enjoy that. Some people, that would drive them nuts. But that's the type of things that the FBI is even looking at. And we don't get paid as much as administrators. I mean, I get paid handsomely. We do as administrators. But a teacher, you know, there used to be a reverence for that in our society. And I think that's kind of been stripped away a little bit by different factors and different forces that are outside of our control. But what I really am appreciative of the educators that I work with, they come to work every day, they put their head down, and they do good things for kids. And that's all that I can ask for. And as a building administrator, I need to protect their time. So anytime I can lessen a meeting, take a load off of them, that's my role. Because they're out there being rock stars for kids.
So do you think a lot of that is, I mean, of just what's happening in society, of a breaking down of norms and how we talk with each other and how we appreciate, you know, just conversation with each other. And then that leads into just education, where maybe some of those feelings came out. You know, that's, people always say, you know, education is one of those things everyone feels like they could be a teacher because they all went to school, right? Like, not everyone, you know, did the other professions, but they felt like they went through 12 years of school, and so they can do it. How do we empower educators, whether it's administrator or teachers? Like, what have you found to be successful to continue to have that? Because we have to have that dialogue with parents, right? We have to have that dialogue with our community. That's such an important part of it. But how do we do that while avoiding those other things that might be in the back of our head of, is this parent going to say something to us? Or are we going to misstep? Or are we going to, you know, that 1% of people who might do that? How do we support our students, our teachers? How do we handle that as administrators?
Well, you know, I think about this a lot, because I think as an administrator, you have to have a couple of qualities. I think you have to, one, have to have good rational detachment, because you have to have, be able to have conversations with people about certain things and not take them personally. You know, I got some great advice when I was younger that, you know, an administrator doesn't have the luxury of emotion or feelings, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, when you're in a crisis, they want you calm, right? Mm-hmm. When they're upset of something, they want you upset and advocate and passionate for you. Well, you got to kind of stay in the middle of the road. It's the same way of, you know, where's your political views in education? Well, we're neutral. You know, we're Switzerland. We're out there. We don't really have an opinion. You know, we're calm, cool, collected. Those are some qualities I think that you need as an administrator. And if you haven't honed those in, you're definitely going to get an opportunity and a lot of practice, because, you know, people expect certain ways and people expect certain things from you, and you're going to be tested quickly, and you've got to find ways to rationally detach, to blow off steam, do your things in appropriate manners, within the norms. But like what you were saying, like, I feel like the whole world needs a PLC. They need norms and structure.
You know,
they need collective commitments. What do we all agree here to? You know, how do you get a community to be able to do that? And there's always differing views, but you're right. The breakdown of those things, or the erosion of things, have taken some time. And I just hope that we can teach this generation that we have now in school, you know, that process, so we can have civil discourse and get to a better place.
And I always try to remind myself when I'm talking with staff about, like, 99.5% of the people in our community and our parents are supportive and care about our school and want what's best and are able to have, not that they agree with everything, but are able to have a dialogue with us that's appropriate and productive, right? It's just difficult. It's like if you give a survey and it's the one, you could have 99 good responses and one response that says, you know, that guy needs to be fired, mm-hmm. and that's the only one you remember, right? And so I think getting teachers, empathetic with teachers, and getting them to see that and understand, there's a lot of people that think you're doing great things.
Yeah, I talked to, you know, I had a buddy that was mentoring, and he was in the middle school level, and he's like, man, I just feel like I'm riding these couple of parents. I said, listen, let's look at this differently. You're talking to about 10% of your kids, right? 90% of them went home happy. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear from their parents. So it's just perspective. And yes, you're having some difficulty. You need to put some systems in place. Yeah, let's talk through this. What's worked, what's not worked? But 90% of your kids went home and had a great day. And guess what? They're coming back tomorrow because they loved it.
Yep.
You know, one of the things that I keep thinking about is, as we're talking, is we have three administrators here from three different school districts, and this is one of the reasons why I really like the association that we have in our region and then at the state conference, because everybody that goes to those conferences that I have run into so far, and everybody that's in the St. Louis Association, all nice people, all student-centered, teacher-focused, public education advocates. But it's so interesting how we all face the same issues, if you will, the same opportunities for growth that we all have. And so that chance of getting people together, it's just really neat to have those conversations with all of these different folks to see the similarities that we all share in our roles and all wanting to do the best for our kids. And I don't know if I really have a question in there, Nathan, other than just saying that I feel that these collaborative experiences are just very important for us, because it does become a lonely position as an administrator.
And I was going to say, we're all educators, so we can give you wait time to get to a question about that.
Well, as I say, it may have just been a plug for the MAESP and the St. Louis Association as well.
Well, I think to that point, I think there are, to me, the number one thing that stops people from doing that is time, right? So yeah, we say all the time, like, we think, okay, like, yeah, that would be great. Like, I would love to go talk to principals. I find value in that. But, like, I'm barely keeping my head above water right now and, like, just doing my stuff, right? Like, I got all these things I need to do, and I'm not spending enough time with my family and this and this, and you're wanting me to go to a different meeting, or how am I supposed to leave my building to go do this thing, right? And I like to think of it, it's like taking a big – like a shot of oxygen. Like, it just gives you life to know, okay, not only are there other people out there that are dealing with the same thing, but also that there's people that dealt with the thing and figured it out, right, and were able to do it. And so, like, when you think about the time and being able to do that, is that kind of the experience that you've had or that you've heard from other people of, like, what's the payoff? Like, why take the time away from my building? Why take the time from other things I could be doing to build those relationships?
Before Dr. Ricker answers, I do think it should be noted how well I set you up for that question.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, it was like a bit of a prologue into you getting to the question. Yeah. So
hopefully I don't strike out with this answer then.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think, yes, it's important. I mean, one of the things with our organization that we're going to try to pitch at EdPlus to the superintendents is to get those superintendents and assistant superintendents to allow their principals to come. That's the biggest hurdle. Let them come to our meetings. I know they're during the day, some are in the evening time. Let them come. They need to come. If you don't develop your people, they're going to eat you for lunch. And that goes with administrators too. I mean, we've all worked with different superintendents. I'm sure you've worked for multiple superintendents, and they all have certain things that they want, and, you know, good examples, bad examples, that type of thing. But if you don't develop your people, just like if you were as a principal with your teachers, if you don't develop those teachers, they'll end up leaving. They'll find another opportunity. They'll make it difficult for you. They'll, you know, if you don't feed them, they're going to eat you for lunch. I think there's actually a book on that. But you've got to give them the professional development. Yes, you're giving PD, and that's what the big stark contrast between the rural regions and our region is. A lot of our school districts give PD. Well, but for principals in these rural areas, their PD are their regional principal meetings, because they bring in big people. They can get people to come in. That's what's unique about, and the resources that we have here in St. Louis, the districts can do it. But they crave that in the rural area, because they don't get out. Sometimes they're the only administrator. Sometimes they're also driving the bus in the afternoon, too. It's just a little bit different, but that's where they crave. They crave that camaraderie. They crave the collaboration. They crave the PD. It's just like PLCs, what we're asking teachers to do, and we need to be doing that as administrators. We need to model what we're asking other people to do.
And I consider myself pretty lucky. So I was in Melville before this. I'm in Parkway now. And both of those school districts, when I was there, really valued, I would even say they expected principals to continue to develop and to find ways to be able to do that. You know, in Melville, it was expected that we would go to conferences and we would make connections and we would learn things, because you can't, you talked about it, you know, acting, right? So like when you were at your the first school of like being able to take risks and do things that are kind of innovating, you can't do that if you're just trying to tread water. Like you have to go out and be like, how can I steal that and put that here? And the only way, in my opinion, you can do that is talk to people that have been there and have done those things and have experienced those things as well. Dr. Kino, I know you do a lot of through Twitter and just different organizations and associations, and you're very active in that. What has been your payoff or your positive part about being part of so many of different things?
Well, I will say because of this podcast, you know, one of our episodes, we had Brian Meckel, and he talked about how he interviewed a child at the end of the day with their, I don't remember what he called the video.
It's one and one to end the day. That was
one and one to end the day, which he got from you. And now I took it from him, and now I end the day with those videos. That's been, the parents love it, the kids enjoy doing them. And I've also found, too, that through the membership of the St. Louis Suburban Elementary Principal Association, the MAESP, and then also the NAESP, just you have a network of friends throughout the United States. And so I have had the chance to speak with people outside of my district if there are issues. Sometimes I feel it's a really good idea to get a different perspective because sometimes districts do things a certain way. And even if on the same issue, another district may handle it a different way. And so hearing those different points of view has just always been very impactful to me. So I would say that's been my biggest takeaway. What about you, sir?
Yeah, I think I don't think there's anything that I've done that's been successful that I didn't steal from somebody. So I always feel bad whenever, like, even the one-on-one thing, like, I stole that from a book that they talked about doing it in a book. Like, so when people are like, oh, I like that was a great idea, I'm like, well, I can't take credit for it. Like, thank you, but no. Like, somebody else comes up with things, and I don't know who people are sitting in a room somewhere coming up with great ideas and just sharing them out, but, like, we have all gone through things, and I think we see we're really good. Like that's when I go to the conferences, it's being able to see, okay, this is this thing that's really kind of eating away at me right now. Like, man, I just can't figure out how to move the building forward or what the next step is. And, like, sure enough, like, I walk into a session, and that's what the session's about, right? And that it just gives me that thing that I need to kind of make that next step. So you've talked about mentoring different principals, and obviously, you know, part of your organization that you're president of is like, how do we continue to grow principals and bring people, quality people? We know that a big issue right now in education is not just quality teachers, but then that means quality our administrators and quality, you know, central office. So how is there anything that is happening statewide or in the organization that is helping to recruit people into the administration? Or
I think what we're talking at the state level, and, you know, we have the commissioner has started a roundtable, and, you know, we're really starting to talk about what does the principalship contract look like? What does it look like? How do we keep principals? Because, you know, look at research, the sustainability and the growth of an organization usually starts at the building level. And, you know, you may have a couple of superintendents, but the building principal has usually been there quite some time. So what ways can we keep principals in the principalship longer and feeling them much more safe so they can continue to do great things for schools? So we're talking a little bit about that. At the state level, I think, you know, reading success plans are a real big thing right now. Mm-hmm. at the state level, depending on what type of resources you have and pulling things together. So those are the real big pieces that we're really talking about now. You know, you wait a couple of days and things might change.
Right.
So that's the status of education. I think we have a baby boomer population that's going to be retiring soon. I think there's 1,500 elementary schools in the state of Missouri, so we need at least 1,500 principals. Some of those principals are going into central office to fulfill superintendencies, so there's an ebb and flow. We have to recruit good people. I mean, you know, I'm replaceable in this job, you know, and I know that, but there's got to be somebody better behind me. Somebody gave me my start. Somebody gave you each one of your starts. The mentorship is one of the most satisfying things that I do. I mean, I've had two elementary assistant principals since I've been a principal, one at Ferg Floor and one here, and both are head principals now. I take a lot of value in that. It's exciting. I always feel like I get better perspective from them. They have newer, greener eyes, and maybe my eyes are a little jaded and dark, but they also provide me a spark. Those are things that kind of fill my bucket. I mean, I don't come to work dreadful coming to work. It's exciting for me.
Yeah, and I think – to me, I don't know how you guys moved into being in a, you know, in into administration. For me, I had a principal that came to me and said, "I think you'd be good at it." Right? Like it wasn't, and it was like, "Okay, I got to go be a principal by this time." Or it was, I wanted to be a teacher. I became a teacher. And then I had an administrator that said, "I think you would be a good principal, and I'm going to give you opportunities to grow you." So I think we try to find those people in your building who you think, you know what, those would be quality people to go into administration. Some of them quickly shake their head no and say, "Get out of my room." And some of them are like, "You know what, maybe I would like to do that." And those are, I think that's how we keep getting good people to move into there. So the podcast is called What's the Point? And so when we think about what's the point with this is how – Dr. Kina is over here dancing next to me. It's very hard. You're a very good dancer. So what is thinking about this and thinking about principles in this area and how specifically your organization, like how, what is the importance of being part of it? What's the point of reaching out, going to those meetings and joining organizations such as the St. Louis Suburban Elementary Principal Association?
So it's about collaboration. It's about networking and it's about context. And I think the collaboration piece is something that every principal yearns for. Everybody wants to have perspective. I think that networking is really important, getting to know, seeing other people, seeing things from a different perspective, problem solving together is really good. And the context is it, the organization provides you something different for every single person. Whether it's solving an issue for, you know, reading success plans, or you need help working with a staff member or walking through something. The organization has a lot of contacts. We've had people come from different organizations for arrival and dismissal. We've had people come in that have done retirement plans. We have people that'll come in to provide us resources and different organizations that you can partner with to help your school community or help you personally. So what you put into the organization is what you get out. And there's a plethora of ideas and a plethora of things that we can offer for you if you ask and you come speak with us. That's the big thing. We need you to be a part of the organization because you've got great ideas and great things, and you could be the next leader of the organization that propels the educators in the future.
What a wonderful final comment that we have from Dr. Ricker today's episode. My goodness.
I feel like we should cut that off and you can just use it as your pitch. Just email it out.
I guess maybe trademark that or something.
Yeah. There you go.
This has been fun.
So if people wanted to learn more about it, MASP, and then just look up the regional St. Louis area.
Yep, and you'll probably have my email address at kirkwoodschools.org, and feel free to reach out. Be happy to talk to you about the organization, how you can be a part.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode, and I know everybody's going to enjoy it. I know Nathan and I enjoyed it very, very much.
It was great. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.